ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मेतयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तं ह देवम् आत्मबुद्धिप्रकाशं मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये। We have been discussing the 8th verse of the Dakshinamurti Stotram, which is one of the most profound verses. The essence of what we discussed was this entire universe that we are living in and interacting is a universe of plurality, multiplicity, bheda. We see everything as different from everything else. Every single object in this universe is different from every other single object in this universe. This is called a duality. And this duality leads to a consequence which very few of us realize. That consequence is called relationship. The whole universe is nothing but a world of relationships. Whether a person is happy or unhappy, positive or negative, progressing or stagnating or going down, all depends upon one's relationship. Spiritual life is nothing but to forge a spiritual relationship. That means we all are united in that central point which is called Brahman. At first, we want to get rid of negative relationships. Adharma, practice of adharma is nothing but getting rid of negative relationships. Then we develop positive relationships. And as we progress, we understand no relationship is necessary because the reality is one and no more. Advaitam Brahma. Thereafter, if the person in that knowledge gives up the body, that person has no problem. He will be forever merged in the supreme reality called Brahman. Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati. But in case, not out of his will, but out of God's will, if that body-mind is preserved, who functions through that body-mind is God himself and not that previous personality called Jivatma, and he sees the whole universe as nothing but Brahman. In that perception of Brahman also, not that the person will not consider, will not see the duality, like a person who understands what is a mirage, still perceives the mirage but doesn't fall under the delusion that it is a real water, because he knows the truth, and because of the truth he will not be affected by tiredness, running after it, desiring it, and then finally suffering from it. Every Jivan Mukta has this dual vision. From the Vyavaharika point of view, body, mind, duality, differentiation, manyness, everything is perceived, experienced, and action and reaction follow it. But at the same time, he knows this is all one Brahman with Nama Rupa, and as a result, he enjoys every experience which we classify as either positive or negative. So, the reason why in this 8th verse we are discussing all these classifications is to cognize the fact it's a world of relationships. Duality means a world of relationships. And Shankaracharya divides all relationships into four categories. Karya and Karana, cause and effect. We see in this world everything as cause and effect. Here is a girl or a boy and they are born. Their effects of their parents. Parents are the cause, children are the effect. But when these very children grow up, and then again happen to, if they happen to marry, and they become the cause and they produce children, which are called effects. Here is wood and a carpenter transforms it to a furniture, or clay into pots, etc. Gold into ornaments, etc. So we say gold is the cause, wood is the cause, clay is the cause, the ornaments, the furniture, or the pots, etc. are the effects. And then this is what is the relationship then? ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ బిట్వీన్ ది కార్పెంటర్ అండ్ ఎ టేబుల్ హీ ఈజ్ ది నిమిత్త కారణ అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎన్ ఎఫెక్ట్ వుడ్ ఈజ్ ది వాట్ వీ కాల్ ది మెటీరియల్ కాజ్ ది కార్పెంటర్ ఈజ్ ది ఇంటెలిజెంట్ కాజ్ ది ప్లేనర్ ది హ్యామర్ ఎట్సెట్రా ఈజ్ ది ఇన్స్ట్రుమెంటల్ కాజ్ సో కాజ్ అండ్ ఎఫెక్ట్ ఎ పర్సన్ పాసెస్ మెడికల్ సైన్స్ అండ్ హీ బికమ్స్ ఎ డాక్టర్ స్టడీ ఆఫ్ ది మెడికల్ knowledge is the cause. He is becoming a doctor is the effect. So if he understands properly, then he diagnoses the patients and helps him recover if everything goes all right. And that is called karya karana. See anything, whether the sun, the moon, the planets, the galaxies, living beings, non-living beings. Another example, the Himalayas, the tectonic plates beneath the earth. Beneath the ocean, they clash and push up something when they come together. And this is the result is the mountains. And again, when they drift apart, slowly these things will come down. The severe low temperature in the Arctic areas is the cause of freezing the oceans. But when the atmosphere becomes heated, and again, all those ice caps, huge millions of square meters, becomes melted again and raising the sea levels and destroying cities near them. So cause and effect. That is the first one. Then the second one is Swaswami. Brahmana is superior to Shudra and a teacher is superior to the student. A prime minister is superior to all other workers, etc. Swaswami Sambandha. This is another type of duality resulting in another type of relationships. Then teacher and taught. Anybody can teach us. And anybody who teaches us becomes the acharya. And anybody who learns sincerely is called a student. Here also the relationship, one of reverence, one of reception and parasparam bhavayantaha. So that relationship makes a great deal of difference whether this teacher is able to teach, whether the student is able to grasp. Then of course we have got Pitru Putra. It means parents, children, brothers and sisters and friends, relatives, families and then one's religion, one's language. What a relationship it forges. I have seen it. When two people who are not known to each other, as soon as they hear their mother tongue being talked, they leave everything and run towards each other. This relationship comes. Then if by chance they come to know they are initiated by the same guru, another relationship is forged, creating dissensions and then conflicts in many other types of things. Comparing one guru to the other, and the moment we start comparing, our relationship with these different personalities also become very completely delineated. Look, in whatever way you like, in spiritual life, all these relationships from a sadhana point of view are divided into three. These are popularly known as Dvaita, Visishta Dvaita and Advaita. From our earlier discussions, you can discuss this Veda or differentiation or classified by Vedanta into three categories. What is it? Vijatiya, the difference that exists between two different species, for example, mango tree and coconut tree. Sajatiya, two mango trees and one yields sour fruits, another eats very sweet fruits. So, there is a difference between them. Nobody will mistake them. Even while buying, we make all these differences. This is Alfonso, this is Malgova, this is Neelam, etc., etc. Then, same Swagata Bheda. Within the same tree, there are branches, flowers, blossoms, unripe fruits, ripe fruits, fruits at a lower level, fruits at a higher level. All these differentiations create a different relationship. For example, if I see two fruits, one is unripe, another is ripe. Immediately, without our conscious thinking, we reach for the ripe fruit and that is how I like it. I love you and I do not like it. I do not love you. This is the type of relationship, and depending upon the relationship, the effect also will come there, and that relationship produces bondage And spiritual life is to get rid of this raga dvesha mainly. And to do that, the only way is to get rid of the differentiation. And finally, when all the differentiations have been removed, that supreme vision dawns upon each one of us. The reality is one, and seeing difference is because of the delusion. So that is why so much of analysis is there. Yesterday we discussed waker, dreamer, sleeper relationship. Then we also are going to discuss a little bit more cause and effect, and cause and effect are the resultant of time, space and causation. Cause is earlier, effect is later. A seed comes first and the seedling or plant or tree comes later on. So this is the sequence. Without much cognizance, we are acting upon it like anything. Then master and servant, superior and inferior, and then teacher and the taught, and father, mother, etc. This is the classification with which it will make it easy for us to understand this 8th verse. Vishvam pashyati karya karanataya swaswami sambandhataha shishya acharyataya tathaiva pitru putradi atmana bhedataha svapne jagrativa yaha eshaha purushaha maya paribhramitaha tasmai sri guru murtaye namaidam sri dakshinamurtaye. He who is the supreme reality called Purusha, whirled in Maya, sees the world in terms of cause and effect, diversely related as possessor and possession, father and son, teacher and taught, both in the state of waking and dreaming. To him, the divine teacher, who removes all this duality and at one stroke destroys all the relationships the resultant of this duality, to that supreme teacher, Sri Dakshinamurti, who is manifesting in the form of my own teacher, is this prostration again and again. So we are seeing yesterday, Vishvam Pashyati, each one of us perceives. Perceives means that is the highest truth. I am the son, I am the parent, I am the officer, I am a doctor, I am a lawyer, I am an enemy, I am an Indian, you are a Pakistani, etc., etc. This is the division. So we have discussed in sufficient details, and we saw that this division and plurality is everywhere, not only in human beings, but in every living creature, in plants also. I'll just give one small example. In a forest where there is a very tall tree, and then beneath it, its own offspring from its own seeds fall down, and when these small seeds want to grow up, remember, every seed is heliocentric. Wherever you plant it, it grows towards light. But the parent tree doesn't allow it, not consciously perhaps, but it is the greatest competitor. So some plants have developed what we call terrible cleverness. They become climbers, and then they take the very tree which is opposing them as the support, like judo, and goes on growing and reaches the topmost, and sometimes even smothers the tallest tree, which dies because of the lack of sunlight. It's such a wonderful system. And there are some things that they sponge upon they are called parasites, and they go on sitting there and sucking the very blood of a parent tree. And then when that tree dies, they shift their allegiance to the nearby one. What I am trying to tell you, in every living species, there is this bheda, differentiation, distinction, and it is impossible. If we want to understand this particular shloka, what did we discuss so far? The world is nothing but a world of duality. And where there is duality, there will be a relationship. And different types of relationships we have discussed so far. And seeing these relationships, forging these relationships, whether it is positive or negative, both are causes of bondage. Our endeavor as a sadhaka, this particular Dakshinamurti Stotram, is to inculcate the knowledge that all duality is completely false. We must see only unity and oneness in everything that we see. The underlying reality the platform, the background, the substratum, which is categorically declared by every scripture as Brahman. And just as a dry desert becomes the platform, a rope becomes the platform for deluding ourselves as a mirage or as a snake, Brahman is the substratum without which it is not possible. Once we perceive the substratum, the delusions might remain, but they will not be able to affect us. Then a wonderful transformation comes, and that is called seeing Brahman everywhere, in every way, and enjoying Brahma Leela. And that is what many great teachers tell us. Instead of merging completely in Brahman, the joy one gets by seeing Brahman and playing as part of the Brahman is much, much more desirable. Dvaitam advaitadapi sundaram. Duality is much more enjoyable than even Advaita. To recap what we discussed, waker, dreamer, sleeper relationship, possessor, possessed relationship, which falls into four categories: cause and effect, time space causality, master and servant, superior, inferior, teacher and taught, the tradition of passing the teaching from para and avara, from the superior to the lower, not inferior, to the lower, from the teacher to the taught, and all the worldly relationships that we have, including the relation, negative relationship called enmity, etc. These are all delusions. Now, why are we having these delusions? That is what we need to discuss now. Maya paribhramitaha, as if Brahman has become powerless by its own power, as if the power of Brahman overpowers Brahman, as if, always keep that word, as if, and it makes Brahman think. Really, can it make? No. Brahman himself wants to play with himself, and this is how, with his own Shakti, Prakrutim Swam Adhishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. This is the process. What is Maya? Where there is one, we perceive the many. Several examples are given. Sri Ramakrishna also gives an example. Let's imagine there is one sun and 10 potfuls of water. How many suns are there? 11 suns. One, the sun in the sky, the real sun, and 10 reflections. Now we are talking, all these dualities, nothing but the reflections. So, he says, he gives this beautiful example. Supposing one pot is broken. How many suns are there? One real sun and 9 reflections. Suppose 9 pots are broken. How many suns are there? One real sun and 1 reflected sun. Supposing the last pot is also broken. How many suns now? And one so-called intelligent person thought he was intelligent. He replied, one sun is there. Immediately the axe came down from Sri Ramakrishna and said, now, it is the reflected sun which says, I am a reflected sun, I am one, and the original sun is one, different from me. I am the reflection, so I am not the original sun. Original and duplicate sun, two suns. The moment the mirror is broken, who is to say that there is or there was a reflection is there? Nobody should say, nobody can say, because the sun doesn't calculate. It is the reflected suns which calculate all these things. What is that reflecting media? Our mind. What is the reflected sun? This is called Maya, and that causes. So, Maya paribhramitaha, overcome by Maya, as if Brahman sees reality where there is only himself as one. And then he goes on forging relationships, and then he goes on suffering. But does this suffering go on? And when will it come to an end? And that is where the Advaita Vedanta provides the answer and says, how long do you have dreams? Because if there is something curious psychology here. Every dream begins at a particular point of time. And whatever begins at a particular point must come to an end. This is a universal law. That which is born, it must die or disappear at some point. But again, Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures come to our aid. What is that aid? it is this, that even though the sapna, in the sapna, in the dream, that there is a beginning, we call it janma, birth and death, but they are not really birth and death. As we in our ignorant state understand it, it is nothing but the unmanifested comes into being experienced into manifestation, and that which remains as experienced, some experienceable something, goes out of our capacity to experience it, and that is what we call death. There is no birth, there is no death. It is a play of manifestation and non-manifestation. So, this whole swapna begins at a time. It's a manifestation of the waker. As we discussed yesterday, in the dream world, the one waker, remaining constantly as a witness, divides himself into three, as the witness, as the participator, and the objective world, swapna loka. And as soon as the swapna ends, what does he realize? That was a dream. I am the only one. There were so many divisions there, and I am the only one. There is no division at all. As soon as he comes out of that dream state, he understands that whatever happened in the dream has no effect whatsoever. He is the same undivided whole, unaffected by whatever happens during all the dream experiences. So also a sadhaka, when he comes to know, I am the highest reality, and then he enjoys everything, positive, negative, just as we enjoy a drama or a cinema. That is the most important fact. So, the whole universe consists of duality, means relationships, and as cause and effect, as teacher and taught, and as superior and inferior, as family relationships, as friend or enemy, and these are all, there is only one cause for all this, and that is called Maya. How to get out of that Maya? Only by the grace of God, which comes to us in the form of the grace of our own teacher. The entire teachers of everybody in this universe, past, present and future, is presented as Dakshinamurti. Dakshinamurti is not a individual deity or individual teacher. He is the universal teacherhood who manifests in the form of every other teacher. That is why we say Karya Karana. Every day we sing, especially the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, Srishti Stiti Vinashanam, Shakti Bhute Sanatani, Gunashraya Gunamayi, Narayani Namostuti. The entire essence of the 8th verse is put in this Sarvamangala Mangalye, especially in this 2nd shloka. That means Gunashraya Gunamayi. Divine Mother is consisting of 3 gunas, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. And the duality is caused by the interplay between Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. All the differentiations is only because of these 3 qualities, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. But the Divine Mother is, she is Guna Ashraya. She is the substratum. That means she is not affected. As Sri Ramakrishna so beautifully puts it, the poison in a poisonous snake's mouth doesn't affect the snake, so also the 3 gunas do not affect the Divine Mother. Sri Ramakrishna used to call Brahman as the my Divine Mother. So this Divine Mother is beyond all the 3 gunas, and when only her grace descends, we are able to get out of this Maya, because Maya is a statement of fact. A statement of fact is nothing but the interplay between Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. And this getting out of this bondage is possible only by the Divine Mother's grace. Another meaning of the guna. Usually guna means quality, and the final gunas or qualities are Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. But another meaning of guna is bondage. It is this bondage. This is sweeter, and that is more beautiful, that is more enjoyable, that person is more friendly, etc., etc. These are delusions caused because there is no enemy, there is no inferior quality. The Divine Mother alone is fully manifest as the tamas, as the rajas, and as sattva in different proportions according to the need, as a Chitshakti Leela, this divine mother's sport, once we understand it, and we can only understand it, only through the grace of the divine mother, which comes in the form of the teaching of our own guru. If we have reverence for our guru, it is possible only to get rid of that maya. Ultimately, the guru's grace, God's grace, divine mother's grace, there is no difference. They are one and the same. This is what is the essence. Vishwam pashyati karya karanataya saswami sambandataha shishya acharyataya tatha eva pitru putradhyatmana bhedataha svapne jagrativa. Either in waking state or in dream state, only this differentiation. There is no differentiation in the third state called deep sleep or sushupti state. What happens? Esha purushaha, this paramatma, caught in the net of the trigunas, and the trigunas is called maya. Maya paribhramita, being whirled round and round in this brahma chakra by the power of maya, which is the power of Brahman. But there is a way out. How? Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Sri Dakshina Murtaye. Only by the grace. Categorically, this Dakshinamurti Stotram tells us the grace of God is the only way. There is no other way. I will just touch upon one simple, very important point. Of all these relationships, Karya Karana, cause and effect relationship, is the most important one. But it is very difficult to understand that no one single cause creates an effect. Take simple example, then I will give another example. You take a seed and put it in the soil, and then a plant seedling or plant comes out. Immediately we jump to the conclusion that the seed is the cause of this plant, forgetting the seed is the main cause. But if the seed doesn't come into touch with the soil, soil is one cause, right season is another cause, right amount of sunlight is another cause, right amount of cold or heat is another cause, right type of water is another cause, right type of enrichment or fertilizer of the soil is another cause, and absence of enemies like pests or animals is another cause. When all these subsidiary causes come, then alone it is possible for the seed to become a plant. Forgetting all these subsidiary causes, we simply home in on that one seed. This is one example to understand what is about to come. In Chandogya Upanishad, there is a beautiful illustration is there. And this has come to us in the form of one upasana. It is called Panchagni Vidya, or every jiva passes through five fires. And then only he is born as a male, as a female child. Simply we say, this child is born out of the parents. But we do not understand, if these parents do not eat food, then that child cannot be born. He is the anna rasamayaha, the essence of the food. Food comes from the earth, and earth is made possible to become fertile only because of the water. The water is made possible only because of the sunlight. The sunlight is made possible because of the akasha or clouds, and it is made possible only because of certain very harmonious combinations. These are called Pancha Agni. There are many causes, but five. In the form of cloud, then rain, then food, then parents, then the husband and wife. And only the wife who becomes the mother is the Pancha Agni, or last Agni. So, who is the cause of the Jivatma? Is it only the mother? No, it is father. Is it only the father? No, it is the food. And is it only food? No, it is the prithvi. Is it only the earth? No, it is the water. And is the water comes from where? From the, in the form of rain. The rain comes in what form? Form of the cloud. And the cloud is formed because of the effect of the sun. So many causes are there. Similarly, what is the point? We are going to discuss it in the ninth verse. But I am going to give you a hint. What is it? दट् आत्मन आकाशसम्भूतः आकाशाद् वायुः वायोरग्निः अग्नेरापः अभ्यः पृथिवी पृथिव्याम् ओषधयः ओषधीभ्यो अन्नम् अन्नात् रसमयः पुरुषः सो वट् इस् दि कास् आफ् दि जीव फुड् वट् इस् दि कास् आफ् दि फुड् अर्थ् वट् इस् दि कास् आफ् दि अर्थ् वाटर् वट् इस् दि कास् आफ् दि वाटर् फैर् वट् इस् दि कास् आफ् दि फैर् एयर् वट् इस् दि कास् आफ् दि एयर् आकाश वट् इस् दि कास् आफ् आकाश आत्मा दट् मीन्स् वाट् वी हव् आल् कम् फ्रम् वेर् फ्रम् आत्मन् अण्ड् इफ् आत्मन् इस् दि रियल् कास् देन् वट् आर् वी Because remember that universal law, the effect is nothing but the cause in a slightly different combination. That's all. So that means we are all coming from, entire universe is coming from only what? From Atman himself. And that beautiful truth, universal truth, we are not coming from parents, we are coming from Paramatma. A puppy is not coming from a dog, it is coming from Paramatma. Because this is the samya, similarity. Whether it is a human baby, a puppy, or a small fish, or a microbe, whatever it is, finally they are made up of what? Panchabhutas. The panchabhutas come from where? Atma. And that is why the whole universe is nothing but a combination of panchabhutas, and we are part of the universe. We are also cause of the panchabhutas, and the panchabhutas are nothing but manifestations of the Atman, and so all differentiations will cease. And there is a beautiful thought, and I will also put it here before we go to the next verse. Supposing all the things that are born of this earth, if they have to be united, they will be united in a subtler, higher level only if we identify them with the water. And if all the waters are traced to their cause, which is fire, then the unity becomes much more closer, and all the fires will be merged in air. Then the differentiation is much less, and then all the air is merged in akasha. The differentiation is practically indivisible. Just look at it. There are not two fires. There are not two waters. There are not two earths. As earth, it is one and universal. As water, one and universal. As fire, it is one and universal. As air, can you think of air? Can you divide it? This is small air, this is big air, this is mother air, this is father air, and this is grandfather's air. Air is one. The subtler level we go, every creature, living, non-living, everything becomes completely merged. And the highest of that merging is called akasha. And this akasha is inert thing, material thing, belongs to Prakruti, apparently, seemingly, not really. But to understand the truth, we go to the only one cause, which is causeless cause, that is Atma or Paramatma. And in Paramatma, it is Akhanda, Nitya, Eka, Advitiya. In that description, there is no Prapancha, there is no Nama, then no name, no form, no utility, no low, no high, no cause and effect. Everything is transcended in that Paramatma. This entire 8th verse is devoted only when out of His grace, of the God comes in the form of a teacher and says, if you realize that the duality, first of all, is a complete falsity. The duality is caused by Maya. And Maya is nothing but manifesting in the form of Panchabhutas. And if you understand, if you go beyond the Panchabhutas, five elements, then what remains is the indescribable Paramatma. This is another angle of viewing all the differentiations. The important point is, as we merge the gross into the subtle, the differentiation, a lot of differentiation becomes less. And that subtle is merged in its cause, which is still subtler, then the differentiation becomes much less, much more pervading, much subtler, and much more harmonious. And in Paramatma, Brahman, all the differentiations completely become merged, even at the level of air or akasha. That's why akasha dhyana is taken for meditation, because it is the nearest to the Atman. It is the nearest manifestation of the Atman, and it is nearest in similarities to the Atman. That's why Akasha Dhyana is very much advocated. Akasha is infinite. Akasha is completely unattached. Akasha is indivisible. And Akasha doesn't undergo any type of change. If we can understand Akasha in this manner, it would be a little more help in understanding the Paramatman. And why am I talking about all these things? Because how to get the grace of God? Without the grace of God, this division, this Bheda, this Maya, Maya means Bheda. Swami Vivekananda gives the most marvelous definition of Maya. Maya is a statement of fact. What is a statement of fact? We see each other as completely different from each other, experience, forge relationships, positive or negative or neutral, and go on experiencing pain or pleasure or a neutral state. This is Maya. But there is existential suffering which we can never get rid of it through any one of these things, only by the grace of God. And how does the grace of God come? By meditating upon God, by contemplating upon God, by praying to God, by modifying our behavior as if what we are seeing is nothing but God. How is this to be achieved? Well, here is one of the most marvelous upasanas that is maintained in the 9th verse. And one more point, that there are two types of creations. One is called Ishvara Srishti, another is called Jiva Srishti. The five elements, which are the basic cause of the entire universe, including the living and non-living, is called Ishvara Srishti, creation of God, or God manifesting through Maya in the form of five elements. And Jiva Srishti means when we interact with this Ishvara Srishti, because of the layers of our own mentality, we see the same Ishvara Srishti in myriad forms. So what is the point? That these are called, technically, there are two names for this. This is called Srishti Drishti Vada and Drishti Srishti Vada. The theory that God has Ishvara Srishti, God created everything. Remember, creation means manifesting, not like a potter separately creating something called pot, which is totally different from him. It is like, more like the milk trying to transforming it itself into curds, or even better, the rope trying to appear because of the semi-darkness as snake. This is called Vivartavada. But each one of us, as I mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita class, we are the Brahmans. We create our own world. We live in our own world, a child's world, for example, a youth's world, old person's world, man's world, woman's world, rich person's world, poor person's world, guru's world, sishya's world. Everything is totally different from each other. There is some similarities there for practical purposes, but for every living purpose, we are living in our own world, perceive things in our own peculiar, what is called, dimmed visions, and then we act and react, and that is caused by Maya, and Maya means Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. The only way is to get out of it, or to put it in simple words, to discard the Drishti Srishti Vada, to discard, to get out of Jiva Srishti and enter into Ishvara Srishti, Srishti Drishti Vada as it is. That is the spiritual sadhana. In other words, this Ishvara is only manifesting in the form of the entire universe. That is called Ishvara Srishti Vada. And to see that Ishvara, whatever experience we have through our five sense organs, that is called living in Ishvara Srishti and not in Jivat Srishti. And to do that, we will have to contemplate God, which is coming in a very beautiful way, which we are going to study in the 9th verse. And until we do that, Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Jatare Shayanam, Iha Samsare Bahudustare, Kripaya Pare Bahimurare. Let me summarize the 8th verse. Maya is duality, duality is relationships, reality is one, Ekam Eva Advitiyam, maya, reality, relationships. This has to be overcome. And what is the way? Realization of reality, and that knowledge that everything is one, there is no difference. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma is available only through God's, Dakshinamurti's, Guru's grace. This is the essence of the 8th verse in Dakshinamurti Stotram. Vishram Pashyati Karya Karanataya Swaswami Sambandhataha Shishya Acharyataya Tathaiva Pitru Putra Dhyatmana Bhedataha Swapne Jagrativa Yah Eshah Purusho Maya Paribhramitaha Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Sri Dakshinamurtaye. He who is the Purusha whirling in the Maya sees the world in terms of cause and effect, diversely related as possessor and possession, father and son, teacher and taught, both in the state of waking and dream, but which can be broken by the grace of God. To him, that divine teacher, manifesting in the form of my own guru, to that universal teacher, Dakshinamurti, I am prostrating, I am begging him, please give me that knowledge. Now, I'll give a short introduction to this 9th verse, which is practically the last verse there. Dakshinamurti, it is called Ashtakam. Ashtakam means consisting of 8 verses. But even though it is there, Shankaracharya seems to have added, or we are not 100% sure, another Shankaracharya in his parampara might have added this, but it is not really bad thing. It is one of the most wonderful things. How to get out of Maya? By the grace of God. How to obtain God's grace? Through bhakti. How to get bhakti? Through upasana or contemplation of Ishvara. This is the essence of this 9th verse. We have to do sadhana in the form of upasana. Upasana, the word is very beautiful. Upa means near. Asana means the effort to come nearer and nearer until we become one with what we contemplate upon. In other words, to become Brahman. And every jignasu, every aspiring spiritual person helps this Bhagavan or Guru, helps to consume the ego, leaving the Atman in all its glory. What does Guru do? He reduces the ahankara. He reduces the differentiation. Because what constructs the difference? Ahankara. That's why ahankara is called Maya. Ramakrishna says, you take a stick and put it in a stream. Immediately the stream appears to be left side of the stream, right side of the stream, this side of the stream, that side of the stream, etc. Or if you wish, suppose there is a bridge, this side of the bridge, that side of the bridge, etc. we say. So, one may ask, what is the advantage of knowing the truth about the Atman? Because truth is it. Know the truth and the truth will make you free. By knowing truth, ignorance is cast away. So, Sureshwaracharya, about whom I mentioned in the first class, who wrote a beautiful commentary called Manasolasa in about 142 verses or so, this Sureshwaracharya introduces this 9th verse of the Dakshinamurti Stotram with a preface like this. Katham evam vidha maya nivarteti pruchyataha ishvara upasana rupaha tadupayaha prakirtyate. Somebody might ask the Guruji, how can this kind of maya that manifests in the form of relationships and differentiations be destroyed forever? And Sureshwara says, the way to do that, what is it? Ishvara upasana rupaha tad upayaha, tadeva upayaha, and that is praised very much. It is to meditate upon Ishvara. And this, how to meditate on Ishvara, is explained in the 9th verse of the Dakshinamurti Stotram. Maya was described in the earlier verses in a great detail in the form of Jagrat, Swapna and Sushupti. It is shown that all our understanding of ourselves and of the world is an illusion. In the same way, we need the help of Shastra and especially of Acharya to destroy this Maya and to gain the knowledge from the scripture. Only with the help of the teacher, this is called Sampradaya, and to own up that knowledge, that means everything is Brahman, we need the grace of Ishvara. Here comes the role of Upasana. To know the reality, which is none other than Brahman, we have to neutralize Ahankara. What is the problem? Ahankara. What creates the difference? Ahankara. Ahankara. Prahlada's story, Hiranyakashipu's Ahankara makes him different from Narayana, and as if Narayana is hidden by his Ahankara, as soon as that pillar, which symbolizes the Ahankara of Hiranyakashipu, is destroyed by the grace of God in the form of Acharya. Who is the Acharya? Prahlada was the Acharya in the case of Hiranyakashipu, and then immediately he realizes, I am that God. This Ugra Narasimha Murti coming out and swallowing Hiranyakashipu is to destroy the ego, and making that Jiva Bhava is completely removed, and then Hiranyakashipu knows that I am Brahman. This is the inner symbolism. Worship or meditation upon God requires an altar of Ishvara. This ninth verse presents us with an altar which is closest to and the best representative of the supreme reality, the Brahman. The verse goes like this, and this is for Upasana. Not only that, this is the highest knowledge. Every Jivan Mukta sees everything as Brahman. Everything is divided into what we call these seven categories. The whole universe is divided into seven categories, which are finally classified as five categories. Panchabhutas. Bhuhu, Ambhasi, Analaha, Anilaha, Ambaraha, Aharnadaha, Himanshuhu, Puman. Iti Abhati, Characharatmakamidam, Yasyaiva Murtyashtakam, Nanyat Kinchana Vidyate, Vimrushatam, Yasmat Parasmat Vibhohu, Tasmai, Sri Guru Murtaye, Namaidam Sri Dakshina Murtaye. What a beautiful shloka. He whose eightfold forms are the earth, water, fire, air, ether, sun, moon, and the jiva, the purusha, who manifests himself as this universe of both the movable and the immovable, chara and achara, objects. And besides which, the supreme all-pervading Lord, there exists nothing else to those who reflect well. To him, the divine teacher Sri Dakshinamurti, and we have to understand who is manifesting in the form of our own teacher, is this prostration. What a beautiful thing. We are talking about Panchabhutas. The whole universe is what? In the 13th chapter, Prakriti and Purusha. And whatever is born is nothing but a combination of Prakriti and Purusha. That is what we are going to discuss very soon in our next Bhagavad Gita class after a few minutes. But here, this so much of relationship is there between Dakshinamurti Stotram, especially this particular verse and the end of the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhumi. First is Bhu. We know five elements. The whole universe is consisting of five elements. What is the grossest manifestation? Bhumi. Bhuhu. Ambhasi. Ambaha means waters. Then water. Prithivi and Jala. This is Jala. Analaha. Analaha. Na alam. That means sufficient. If you go on pouring petrol into fire, and instead of putting it out, you only increase it. The more fire burns, the more it wants food. It is never satisfied. So, alam, it is enough. The fire never says it is enough. That is why it is called na alaha analaha. Then, the air is called anilaha. Nila means nilaya. Nilaya means a particular place where it can reside. The air is everywhere, and everywhere is its residing place. So that element which doesn't have any particular place, that means it is pervading everywhere, that is called anilaha. So do not get confused between anala and anila. Anala means never satisfied, I want more and more to burn. Anila means that which doesn't have a special place of residence, that means it is everywhere. How many we have discussed now? Then four. Then Ambara. Ambara means Akasha. That's why Digambara, Nilambara, Pitambara. Krishna is called what? Pitambara. That means yellow cloth is there. And Digambara means what? The whole nature is his cloth to cover all the four directions. So bhumi, then ambasi, water, jala, then analaha, agni or tejas, then anilaha, vayu, then ambaraha, akasha. Five elements we have discussed. Then aharnathaha, the manifestation of a special manifestation which makes life possible, which makes death also possible. Remember that sun and moon are the manifestations through which life and death play is going on. Both are going on. Aharnatha. Natha means the master. And ahaha means daylight. So the one who is the master of the day, who makes the day, who makes every creature active because of the light that he throws, is, in other words, the sun. And then what is the next one? Moon. What is moon? It is said that for life, not only the sun is necessary, the moon is also very necessary. In fact, all the Oshadis become very effective only because of the moon. And in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, specially he says, Pushna the Sarpushna Sarva Oshadayaha. The moon, he strengthens and gives so much of nutrition to every Oshadhi. Pushnami Chaushadhi Sarvaha Somo Bhutva Rasatmakaha. In the form of I, if there is a tremendous sweet rasa in the sweetest mango, it is not only because of the sun, because of the especially moon. The rasa is produced because of the moon only. The mango is grown because of the sun only. Aharnadaha Himangshu. Angshu means rays. Hima means cool. So moonlight always cools the sunlight, gives us relief. That's why it's called Himangshu. These are the seven. Five elements, the sun and the moon, belongs to the Prakruti. And what is the Purusha? Puman means Purushaha. Iti abhati chara charatmakam idam. Chara achara. Moving, unmoving. Idam. This entire jagat. Yasyaiva murtyashtakam. These are the eightfold. Five of the elements, the sun, the moon, seven, plus that pure consciousness reflecting as Jivatma or Chidabhasa, these eight elements. That divine Brahman is manifesting in this world in the form of the eight elements, Prakruti and Purusha. Nanyat kinchana vidyate vimrushatam. Those who are intelligent, capable of discriminating, besides this Brahman, nothing else exists at all. Yasmat parasmat. Besides that supreme reality, na anyat kinchana vidyate. That means only Brahman in the form of these eight elements is sporting in the form of this jagat. It's a combination of Purusha and Prakruti. And if we can realize it, that is called Brahmalila. And this knowledge that what I am experiencing through my sense organs, through my five sense organs and plus the mind is nothing but that Brahman in the form of the Jivatma plus the sevenfold elements, and that knowledge comes only by the grace of Divine Lord in the form of our own Guru. Tasmai Sri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Sri Dakshina Murtaye. He whose eightfold forms are the earth, water, fire, air, ether, sun, moon, and the jiva, and who manifests himself as this universe consisting of both the movable, immovable objects, and besides which the supreme all-pervading Lord, there exists nothing to those who reflect well. To him who gives this knowledge that this universe is nothing but Brahman, what we are experiencing is nothing but God, this is called seeing God everything, and this is what is expressed in the first mantra of Isavasya Upanishad. To that divine teacher Sri Dakshinamurti is this prostration. We will conclude with a little elaboration, and then the 10th shloka is called Phalashruti. What results will come by the continuous recitation of this Dakshinamurti Stotram with Bhakti and Shraddha, we will conclude on our Thursday class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhur. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vekananda Bless us all with bhakti.